Resonance Rewind with Robin Pierce, Jessica Burtis, Jenny Bill, and every so often some delightful guests from the cosmos.
Be kind. Resonance Rewind.
Christmas is going to be especially memorable for a lucky patient of the Coralville Children's Hospital and a slightly less fortunate pair of robbers. An international rescue episode without a rescue? A festive frolic on Tracy Island? It can only be Resonance Rewind.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Thunderbirds are go.
Pudding, lights, cigarettes, cigars, candy, eggs, bacon, bread, butter, drawing pins, sticky paper, mushrooms, salmon, tongue, and ham. Ah, the days of tongue. Marvellous. An extraordinary celebration it will be in a matter of, 5 years from now, in 2026. Well, let's find out whether indeed somebody who I know always has his tongue in the right place, it's Robin Pierce. How are you, sir?
Give or take a million, not the most Christmassy title for a Christmas special, which this most certainly is, broadcast on December 25th, 1966. It is actually the last of the televised episodes before the two feature films were made. And it's not your typical Thunderbirds episode. We start off on Tracy Island, mysteriously covered with a sprinkling of snow, despite being somewhere in the Pacific Ocean. We have Jeff Tracy, dressed as Father Christmas, a rather grumpy Father Christmas, I must say. Curmudgeonly. He makes me look like the milk of human kindness. And he is talking to a young person, a child, who sounds suspiciously like Sylvia Anderson, but we won't say anything more about that. What's going on? Well, the entire story is told in flashback. And it's a 50-50 story about a bank heist that goes wrong and the Tracy family preparing for Christmas. Now, the bank heist falls into the main plot of the story where the Thunderbirds International Rescue are assisting with getting toys to a children's hospital dropped via parachute, delivered by a rocket. There must be an easier way of celebrating Christmas than, you know, firing rockets at children's hospitals. But hey, we'll see where we are in 4 years' time, right? The bank robbers, they steal gold bullion they escape with their bullion into the cargo container that's going to be dropped by the rocket. They get knocked unconscious by the G-forces, which leaves us with the rather odd kind of notion. The episode carries no international rescue as such. There is no peril whatsoever, except to the two inept bank robbers, and they just merely fall unconscious. And also in that container is an envelope giving one lucky recipient the opportunity of spending Christmas with International Rescue and being able to see the launch of his choice. Now, of course, there's nothing better than taking a child who may be ill out of hospital on Christmas Day, so he can possibly die in a Pacific island, especially choking on rocket fumes, because he does choose the Thunderbird 3 launch, which is good for him, because otherwise he and Jeff would have had to scarper away from the swimming pool, because that's where Thunderbird 1 is launched. All in all, not a bad episode. Not the best, but not a bad episode.
Well, I do declare, probably one of my favourite lines from Nurse Nimmo, who an underrated character and probably deserving of her own series. Jonathan Lindsley, let's turn to your good self first. Of course, rather like Robin and myself, kind of the age where Christmas Day, Thunderbirds, it was basically a kind of standard experience, really, including, of course, the Thunderbirds toys, Thunderbirds annuals, and so on for International Rescue. But what did you make of Give or Take a Million?
Well, I have a confession to make. I was a Thunderbirds fan when I was 9 years old, which would be 1965, which I believe was when it launched. And I absolutely adored Thunderbirds. In fact, it was a very difficult one for me because I think it was shown on the same night as my Cubs meeting. And in those days, there were no video cameras and no video recorders. And so if you missed Thunderbirds, you didn't see it again. That was the worst thing. So I have to confess that sometimes I stayed home from Cubs just to watch Thunderbirds. That's how big a fan I was. I brought with me to show you all the my Thunderbirds record, right, which is the Thunderbirds 33 mini album from Century 21 Productions, which is 21 minutes of adventure, right, which is utterly brilliant. So there we are, Thunderbirds. Yes, this particular episode, I think, probably would have disappointed me had I seen it. I was probably at Cubs the first time round. Because it didn't have an international rescue, and because it didn't, there was no moving of the swimming pool, and it seemed to lack a bit of peril, as Robin so rightly said and so eloquently said. However, it was quite interesting because you got to see the Tracy family spending Christmas together, and you also got to see more human hands than any other previous episode of Thunderbirds ever made, which was quite interesting, except for when they showed Jeff Tracy speaking on his microphone to launch Thunderbird 3, at which point you saw his puppet hands, which were extraordinary because they were gold-coloured and looked nothing like human hands, which I thought, having used hands throughout the episode, you'd expect them to use some real hands just to hold a walkie-talkie to his face at least once. However, having said that, I think this episode was also fairly remarkable in the sense that, am I right in this is the only episode that Parker didn't appear with Lady Penelope? She was on her own, which was very unusual, I thought. There were some references to coffee in the middle of the night to stay awake, which I thought was fairly strange. When they were all trying to go to sleep. Overall, as an episode, I thought it was quite fun. I did quite like the inept bank robbers. I quite liked the meeting of the panel to decide whether or not they would actually give away, and the kind of the way the what do they say? You get to get free publicity, worldwide publicity from International Rescue just for a few toys for children. How outrageous is that? And then he gave the magnificent sum of $10,000. Which I thought was quite interesting, considering they were trying to launch a rocket. And I've got a feeling that in 1966, launching any of the Apollo space missions would have cost slightly more than $10,000. But there you go. Jeff Tracy, being the richest puppet in the world, estimated to have about $50 billion in the bank, which is pretty impressive, really. So I enjoyed it. It was a nostalgia trip. I loved it, and thank you very much for inviting me to share my interest in Thunderbirds.
But Father, supposing there's a distress call that day? Oh, Gordon, don't spoil it. Classic interaction between Tintin and, of course, Gordon, who also gets a bit of flack later on, where he basically kind of does all sorts of other issues. Unlike Alan, of course, who managed to escape scot-free, apart from dropping the tinsel on his father, which I thought he'd be really spending negative too, but what the hey. Let's turn to Jessica Burtis. Jessica, another one of those small people episodes. What are your thoughts on this particular incarnation of the Tracy family, International Rescue, in which you simply say, calling into International Rescue, and they will locate you. They're on every frequency.
So I think this is maybe my third episode of Thunderbirds, I think.
Only 29 more to go, Jessica. We'll work through them.
We'll enjoy them because I'm getting more used to the puppets. At first, they kind of scared me a little bit, but now I'm used to them. They're pretty cute. I love the tiny sets and the little tiny Santa outfits. That was so cute. So I really enjoyed like this little Christmas special. I thought it was fun. It was I think some of the shows that we watch they're all very good, and some of them are more serious. So this one was like, it was just a bank robbery during Christmas. I thought it was just very fun. So I really enjoyed it a lot.
The shopping list I thought was very impressive when Tintin and Scott actually have to go off for the shopping list. And indeed, that list that I gave at the start were indeed just some of the things that were being looked for in 2026. In which case, I just have one thing to say. It just shows that Jeff Bezos's drones were predicted by Gerry Anderson. It's simply the drone writ large for the 21st century. Jenny, your own thoughts on give or take a million?
Well, I'm also of an age where I enjoyed Thunderbirds. Not my favourite, as I've probably said before. I loved Stingray and Captain Scarlet. But I do love the puppet shows. When it started, I just kept thinking, OK, what's wrong with a truck instead of a rocket? Because it just seemed absolutely absurd to be sending a rocket to deliver a few presents. And I didn't understand also why the two criminals got in. They dressed as Santa Clauses. Because I presume that they were going to try and escape as Santa Clauses. And then what did they do? They got inside a box and shut the lid, which all it all seemed a little bit bizarre. I really enjoyed it, but I felt it lacked something that some of the other episodes have. Maybe it's the rescue that it didn't have. And it just had what I thought, all the things that I thought were kind of silly have already been mentioned when they said, oh, brains. To have a cup of coffee and then go to bed. And it's just like, okay. And then when they went out to get the shopping, you saw them coming back 2 days later. And I thought, has it taken them 2 days to get shopping? Or was that the whole, do you go to the mainland for 2 days? But yes, it was highly entertaining. That's the main thing. And it made me smile the whole 49 minutes or however long it lasted.
So the second national bank clearly nods there in the direction of the first national bank. And the moral of the story is, if you've got a bank, then don't build it next door to a toy shop, because otherwise strange things would happen. It was directed by Desmond Saunders. What about the voice acting? Because I know, Jonathan, you share with me, and indeed Robin, we've both done shows with, of course, the sadly much missed and late lamented Shane Rimmer, the voice of Scott Tracy. He doesn't have a great deal to do in this particular episode, but you've already mentioned Sylvia Anderson, who not only is Nurse Nimmo, well, I do declare, but she also sort of is the voice of Nikki and, of course, Lady Penelope Creighton Ward. Presumably Parker, to answer Robin's question, was off on a bank heist somewhere or providing advice or consultancy details. But what did you make of Ray Barrett, Peter Dinley, Christine Finn as Tintin Carano, and, of course, Grandma Tracy, who prefers to actually use the traditional method of cooking a turkey rather than the newfangled stuff?
I thought the voice acting was very good. I've always admired the countdown that Jeff Tracy does at the beginning of the show, that's iconic for me. I can't hear that without hearing the theme tune and all that kind of stuff. It's interesting what Jenny said about liking Stingray and Supercar. Did you like Supercar? Because I believe they used some of the incidental music in this particular episode that was also, they recycled it from Supercar and from Stingray, which is quite interesting as well. Well, I'm just
Barry
Gray, see how much I love Thunderbirds, can't you?
Barry Gray doing some awesome stuff there. Okay, Robin, yes. I seem to recall I actually saw this actually on Christmas Day back in 1966 when it was actually transmitted in the Tyne-Tees region. So no worries about Scouts or various other bits and pieces, but no rescue. And clearly there are also issues perhaps about, in terms of the equivalent time, would we actually give a child from Great Ormond Street Hospital the chance to visit the inner workings of MI5 and see inner security workings, just basically because obviously security is still top priority. Because unless they actually did a mind wipe on the child, which I suppose is a possibility, after all, Shadow uses that technique in UFO, bit of a risk, really, as you said, not only from the health aspects, but also the young child taken from the children's hospital, Coralville Children's Hospital.
Not only that, but Gerry Anderson, of course, could not have foreseen the rise of the microchip and the mobile phone. Now then, what self-respecting person doesn't carry one of these everywhere? Doesn't matter what age you are. In the real world, that kid would have been photographing everything.
But there's He'd an automatic camera detector built into most of the areas, surely.
Well, we know that it's on Thunderbird 1. I've never heard mention of it on Thunderbird 2. And in fact, Didn't in one of the earlier episodes, somebody stow away in the pod of Thunderbird 2? Was it a child or something? Did that? Anyway, my bigger question...
Crywolf is the episode you're trying to refer to, Robert.
Right. My bigger question is not about this child. It's about one of Jeff Tracy's own children. What can John Tracy have done that is so terrible, so awful, that he is exiled from the rest of the family in orbit on Christmas Day, and nobody wants to speak to him? He's not having a Zoomer. He's just there looking out at space all alone. Nobody going, hey, John, you're right. Yeah, yeah, we're just having Christmas dinner down here, mate. Shame you're not here. It's just, he doesn't exist. Even when he does call, they haven't got that much time for him. It's like, oh my God, just let us enjoy Christmas with you. Get lost, loser. It's a terrible state of affairs. And this is not addressed anywhere. Where is the spirit of Christmas?
Well, we do know, of course, that Gerry Anderson has frequently gone on record, or did go on record when he was alive, saying he just didn't like John Tracy. That was it. That was the line. He was always written out. He was always given minor things to do for all the reasons you mentioned. So if the creator, the equivalent of the divine intelligence of the whole series, doesn't like you.
Sorry. You would have thought that if Shadow had said the Space Intruder Detector, the International Rescue, with all of Jeff Tracy's billions, could have had a similar device facing the other way, so it's monitoring Earth.
Jessica, allowing for the tragedy of John Tracy, named after, of course, John Glenn, as all the Tracy brothers were named after astronauts, Virgil Grissom, of course, Alan Scott, and Gordon, clearly, from that point of view. Who's Gordon named after? We used to work through that whole space. Alan Shepard, of course. Jessica, any thoughts on favourite characters? I've already put in a plug for Nurse Nimmo, simply because of her rendition of, well, I do declare...
So I think I don't have a particular attachment to any of the characters yet. I think I like them all equally. I thought the criminals were funny in this one. But I think if I watched, you know, maybe the 29 more episodes, I would get more attached. I think at the moment I like Brains because he's the one who made it snow. I think he made the fake snow on the island, so it was like a white Christmas, and I thought that was pretty cool. I think the genius characters are always a bit interesting, so I'd have to go with Brains.
We know that Pamela Suman unable to join us today because she's being boosted at this very moment in time, which reminds me, of course, of another classic from Blue Peter, Bleep and Booster, but that's maybe for another show. And in terms of the sequence of music, we've decided to incorporate Good King Wenceslas. Would there have been any other carol, Jenny, you would have liked the Tracy boys to have actually given a rendition of other than Good King Wenceslas last looked at?
I don't know any carols.
Well, John could have sung Ding Dong Merrily on High, couldn't he?
Exactly.
Although he might not have been quite so merry.
They could have sang that Slade song. But that they would have been because in the time that it was set, there would have been the Slade song. If that makes sense.
Yes, yes. Somehow, I think channeling the inner spirit of Noddy Holder, even for Jeff Tracy, might have been a bit too much. And as far as Dave Hill is concerned,
as this is our sort of like Christmas special, you, dear listener, are listening in, I will chip in. And being that we're speaking of good King Wenceslas, I will ask the question, what was good King Wenceslas' favourite pizza?
What was good King Wenceslas' favourite pizza?
Deep pan, crisp and even. Thank you. I'm here all year.
Well done.
Jessica, any other ways in which you might have seen an improvement for this episode? Would you like to see any spin-offs? I mean, we saw Grandma, we saw Tintin, we saw Lady Penelope, we saw Nurse Nimmo. Any kind of other characters you'd like to see more of?
I don't know if there's anyone yet. I think if I saw more episodes, or once I do see more episodes, I think I'll get more used to the characters and kind of how the episodes play out, because I heard Jonathan mention that there was no international rescue in this one, but there usually are. So I think, you know, an international Christmas rescue might be interesting. Maybe, did they do another Christmas special? Maybe this was just the one. But if they had like an international Christmas adventure, you know, I think that'd be cool. I think that would be fun. But I thought this one with the presents and rocket ship was still pretty cool.
Yeah, exactly. And of course, we also know that in 2026, there was still a place for a bit of cross-branding, because unless my eyes deceive me, we saw in the toy store not only Yogi Bear, but also a Donald Duck look-alike. And indeed, Fred Flintstone also appeared in various ways there. So it's nice to see that they're obviously fictional characters, because in the real world of Thunderbirds, they would be fictional toys from that point of view. But it's nice to see that they were there as well.
And I think you've kind of sort of answered your question about the Second National Bank, because isn't there in real life a First National Bank? And wouldn't having the First National Bank robbed in a TV show bring it into a bad light? It had to be made into a second.
Very true. Always thinking about the branding.
The toys, by the way, in front of Jeff Tracy, were real Thunderbird toys in front of Nikki. Like the model Thunderbird 3 was actually a real. You were able to buy that Thunderbird 3 at the store.
It was so, product placement.
Yes,
product
it was placement. Product placement. Exactly, product
quite
placement.
Blatant product placement that was actually put together. And the only reason they didn't actually have Thunderbird 5 upon the whole thing was because the toy company that was responsible for all the other toys didn't quite get Thunderbird 5 right. And I can attest to that because, you know, it was one of those models which you just thought, but that's not Thunderbird 5. What have they actually done with respect to this particular toy and image structure from that point of view? It just wasn't there. So never mind. That's by the by. Okay, well, let's move on to providing some quantitative numbers for this particular episode. As you can tell, the Tracy boys singing in force there, apart from John, for reasons that we never quite work out. It's clearly something that sort of happened that was there. In fact, if memory serves, wasn't John he must have been the third, because Scott was the elder brother. I thought Virgil was the second. Alan was the youngest. I think John probably came midway between Gordon, et cetera, in terms of the sort of fivesome. But that's by the by, we're speculating about this. Jonathan, score for yourself.
I'm going to give this an 8, simply because there was no rescue. And I think if you're going to watch a show of Thunderbirds and its international rescue, there should be some sort of rescue and some sort of jeopardy involved in the episode, although I did thoroughly enjoy it. So I'm going to give it 8.
And that Christmas list, of course, turkey, paper, pudding, lights, cigarettes, cigars, candy, eggs, bacon, bread, butter, drawing pins, sticky tape, mushrooms, salmon, tongue and ham. Not necessarily the best and healthiest in terms of overall systems, though. I mean, they're very, very much nothing there for vegans, I would have thought.
Little vegetables.
yeah, exactly. Jessica, what's your number for this one? Given that I'm going to have to acknowledge this, that because your email to me had got lost in cyberspace last week, it actually ended up in my junk folder, astonishingly, I can reveal that your score for On Her Majesty's Secret Service, the previous episode, was a solid 7.5.
Yes, it was a 7 for 007. Not my most favourite James Bond, but I didn't think it was bad. I liked it. So I think I'm giving this one an 8, though. I think this one was just, like, more fun. I think it had a lot going for it. You know, it was like a Christmas special, which I think everybody loves. It had a child's dream coming true for Christmas. It had fake snow. it had a big cast of characters and little tiny Santa outfits and a big heist. So I think it had a lot going for it. So I think a solid 8.
It very much was the Willy Wonka scenario. Robin, would you like to take the helm for a moment whilst I go and deal with something who's ringing my doorbell at this very moment?
Indeed. Jenny, your thoughts?
My thoughts or my score? What would you like?
Well, your thoughts that lead up to your score.
My thoughts are that my favourite character was Parker because he was...
He was missing.
He was in it.
Parker's absence.
Parker, for having the good sense to keep away.
He was maybe on the space station keeping John company.
Ah. Now there's a spin-off that nobody wants to see.
I just felt it was a bit of a kind of an underwhelming episode. That's all I can really say, because it was very enjoyable, but I just kind of, it got to the end and you were always waiting for something to happen. If that makes sense.
So what would you give as a score?
I give it 6 out of 10 because it didn't have a rescue and it didn't have Parker.
I would give it actually an 8 because after 31 episodes of adventure, peril, avalanches, you know, space probes going into the sun, all manner of things. For the final episode, it was Christmas, and it just felt like it's time to just kick back and relax a little bit. And for that, I give it an 8. It was a weaker episode than some of the best ones, but I give it an 8.
And you forgot the alligators, of course. Remember that teeny tiny alligator birthday present? Wow. That was actually provided in Attack of the Alligators for Alan. We didn't see any sign of the alligator at all. In terms of the island, let's hope it was well and also able to celebrate Christmas in a nice, happy, safe and peaceful way. Remember, actually, be good to your pets at Christmas. They will respond in kind, quite literally. 8 for me is the score, I think, overall. I think it does work on that sort of basis.
For similar reasons, it's nice to see. This week is actually Jenny.
Yes. Sorry? She has taken over the Grinch moment. You may well be sorry, Jenny. It's too late now. You've become the curmudgeon of the actual team from that point of view. It has happened undoubtedly, and that's all we have to say about the matter. Apart from the fact that, given that we're gathering celebrations, we have a celebration in deep space, actually, a couple of centuries from hence, where we actually look at the first episode of Babylon 5 next week, with, of course, Patricia Tolman in the role of Lita Alexander. And we explore J. Michael Straczynski's episode of Babylon 5. Now, just for people who would like to know when their podcast is likely to drop, that will probably drop on the Wednesday of next week. So there we are. For the moment, though, to Jonathan Lindsley, to Jenny Bill, to Jessica Burtis, and to Robin Pierce. Latest edition of Starburst, of course, is now around and available in the shops with a view on the Bond movies that the editor has actually expressed, which is completely contrary to Robin's view. So nice bit of controversy there for Christmas. But we will say Thunderbirds are go, keep on keeping on, and of course, keep on resonating.
Thank you.